McDonald gets situated comfortably and Michael sits down. McDonald says, "All right, now Kimon may have left you a little shaken, but take some solace in the fact that whatever he says, whatever he does, it's always going to be out of touch with reality. We lay the foundations of what reality is going to be. We set the big picture and understand what that is, and who it is who shapes that picture. He can scream and holler all he wants, but none of it's ever going to materialize."
"Well, certainly to the general extent, but the fact is that we're just more beholden to reality than Kimon is. He expects us to wave a magic wand and suddenly all the requirements of logistics or cost-benefit analysis is going to disappear. He wants an easy solution, but there's no such thing."
"Right, and I don't think I need to mince words with the two of you. God himself has chosen people like us to have the wealth and influence that we do because we have the ability to understand how it needs to be used, and it's all part of his plan. It requires some work, but across the globe you always see this type of decision-making trending towards the hands of a few exceptional individuals."
"I suppose the basic laws of math have something of a divine quality to it."
"It does. At least that's what I believe. However, the rest of the people aren't necessarily as well educated. And like Kimon, they have roughly only the awareness of a simple animal. They bark and bite whatever hands they can bite. That's the problem. That's why God sends his handlers, the likes of us, to keep the people obedient and respectful to where their food comes from. But just like a dog, you can't always feed the people a bitter pill by itself, even if it's good for them. Sometimes you gotta wrap it up in a slice of cheap American cheese. Or cheese product, I guess it's not really cheese, but what's a dog know about that difference?"
"Sir, I will be honest. The destruction of the Unstoppable HQ building has been a bitter pill that I haven't liked swallowing. And I'd love to take it with a little bit of cheese myself."
"Well, let's not twist the metaphor, but sorry, Lowry. As one of the men that God's chosen to lead the people, you're not entitled to any cheese. You have to make the decisions that move us forward. That's your burden. Besides, I'm sure that Michael has already been looking into funding to get back on your feet." And Michael says, "Yeah, at the moment there's political drive to bail us out, but political priorities can vanish inside of a week. So if we want that money, we're going to have to jump on it before something else hits the news cycle." Then McDonald says, "See, and there's a problem for us. Your next move is liable to change the news cycle. It's just one constant dilemma after the next, isn't it?"
"That certainly is."
"We were talking about Kimon earlier, and all this circles back, so don't think I'm meandering. But when he surrendered, he had to give up all his databases and bank accounts. Got seized and passed around. What do you suppose happened to his plans for that flying fortress?"
"Well, I always imagined the thing was kind of a boondoggle, so it probably got looked at and then vanished into piles of government paperwork with similar character."
"It would have, except I bought those blueprints. See, boondoggle though it may have been, I try to see opportunity wherever I can. A friend offered me the opportunity to snatch up those designs, and my company spent some time trying to build a prototype that improved on the original design."
"Wasn't it like a flying building? Were you going to sell it to the military?"
"At the time, the military had promised to buy one or two of the things if we could prove the technology was viable. We secured some funding and even got as far as actual testing, but it ultimately came under scrutiny because it's hard to keep a flying building as a secret project. And though we got it off the ground, it was hard to explain to the military what they'd do with it. I assumed that maybe it'd be viable as a floating logistics center. One of the biggest issues with the current military is that the command centers require a lot of electronic setup, and they're not very mobile. So we were thinking we'd make a small-scale mobile command center. But then the problem we ran into is that there was quite a lot of clash between the size of the reactor and the size of the building. Kimon was trying to move his entire criminal base around, and his fortress was amphibious so he could hide it. But it's vulnerable to surface-to-air weapons while it's in the sky, and vulnerable to submarines when it's in the water, because we couldn't frankly make the thing stealthy. He was down by a bird strike, but the reality is I don't think his fortress would have worked out in the long run once the military had something to say about it. I tried to convince them that this would be a great platform for attack in the Middle East, or other nations with a less superior military, but in those cases, stationary HQ sprawls are safe enough, and there's no reason to involve a massive reactor or a flying fortress. I eventually couldn't sell the thing, is the short of it."
"Are you wanting to sell it to Unstoppable Industries? If it has so many design flaws, I'm not sure I really see the point."
"Well, I'd really be selling it to the government again, since they're willing to cut you a check. But think about it. I've got a prototype flying fortress sitting around, and you got a company that's right now trying to project strength and resilience while also trying to attract the attention of the American public. I know that we all understand that Kimon doesn't know his head from his asshole, but that kind of buffoonery resonated entirely with too many people in this city. His own actions and opinions are still a problem, but he's there, and we can spin all this into something properly aligned with our own goals. That is, American freedom."
I'm still not really sure I follow. We're supposed to redeploy the Demon's Fortress and say it's the new HQ building. But then... I mean, that's a lot of PR work.
Lowry, I suspect that the entire point of the fortress wasn't its strict practical use as a military platform, because it worked as a symbol. A way of saying, look what we're capable of building. Kimon poised himself as a kind of resistance, but resistance can be commodified. It can be turned into a t-shirt and soul. The fortress represents a resistance against what you've called the villainocracy. We conquered villains bigger than this and brought them to realize the superiority of our ideals. Behold, here he is. Here's that fortress. You think you have what it takes to stand before us? Kimon didn't.
Okay. I see where you're coming from, and we can definitely massage Kimon's message into one that makes, like, a little more sense.
He has this individualistic bent that I've always respected. I've been thinking for years on ways we could get his message on track towards being something reasonable.
The big problem is, if we make his message front and center, at a minimum, he's going to be snarky about it. And at the rate that he's, you know, delaminating from the company, I'd expect him to do a whole lot worse than just snark.
Right. For sure. Because he's so individualistic, he doesn't play well with others. And that, I think, is one of the biggest reasons why we need to be focused on getting him into the COG system. If we can get him there, then we don't have to bother trying to make him see reason. We can just tell him what reason is, and then he takes that medicine.
Well, Kimon is a big problem, but the second issue that I see is that aside from the symbolic stuff, I'm not sure if we'd have any benefit from moving an HQ building around.
Hey, well, to be honest, flying the thing around in the first place is an expense you don't need. But it does have the ability to land on the ground, and it's perfectly capable of landing on the space your old HQ building used to occupy once that gets cleaned up. The key advantages are, the government will pay for it, so you don't have to, can be used strategically to rally public opinion, and it's already mostly built, so we can deploy it and capture public attention long before the thought drops off the radar, which solves one of the big issues we have with the slow bureaucracy of government. Heck, a little cherry on top, I'll throw in a freeze chopper.
You mean you'd give me a private freeze-frame-themed helicopter?
The cost on this will be big enough that a helicopter is just a drop in the bucket. Besides, you'll need one, so we can easily justify it. The original concept was meant to spring up out of the water, tack along the coast, and then retreat back, so it came with kind of a complicated docking system. I suspect it could have been used for pirating cargo ships, which is the most devastating thing that Kimon could have done with it. But of course, that's not useful to you. So, if it's not parked on the ground, it'll be airborne over the city, and a helicopter is going to be your primary means of deployment.
And the helicopter would be in my name, and I'd get to keep it.
Well, it'd be under the name of Freeze Frame, which is an identity owned by your company, which is legally who's getting the funding for it.
Right, yeah, right. That's what I mean. Michael, do you think that this is something that we could persuade the government to help us with?
Michael says, well, not normally, but...
It's in the wake of a terrorist attack. Be political suicide for a single one of them to voice any concerns.
No, not directly to the public, but behind closed doors, they're going to complain and try to hold it up.
Well, we'd know what's being said behind those closed doors, so we could make it clear what's being said and who's saying it. They can't hide from us, so they can't hide from the public.
We'd have to be twisting a few arms.
It may very well provide a lot of opportunities. We could sell a modern, updated fortress toy. Of course, the paint has to change. I think a red, white, and blue, giving the kind of messaging that we plan to tie in. And of course, then we could also get a new freeze-copter toy. Oh, and we could do like a social media feed, where you can watch video from the view of the HQ building as it floats over the city. And then you know how people love cute animals? Birds love nesting on buildings. So if we could get a mother hawk or a falcon or something nesting in a box, then that could be like a whole thing.
This is kind of a lot just for the sake of a helicopter.
It's not just for the helicopter, Michael. You know I own a private helicopter for my yachts.
Right, but those are just regular helicopters. They're not a special freeze-frame, unstoppable brand helicopter with guns on them.
Okay, I'll admit, I am excited for a freeze-copter. You know I've wanted a freeze-copter for a long time, and there's just always been an argument about why it's unnecessary. But now it's not coming at a cost to the company, and it's kind of necessary.
Lowry...
And aside from that... This does get us a new HQ that fits our themes, sends a strong message, and has us rebuilt within the blink of an eye. We aren't actually going to be flying the thing all the time, and it'll just be early on. The stockholders will love it. It's rebounding like... snap. And it will look like strength to the people of this city, so, like McDonald said, it ties into our God-given responsibility to the city. If you're still skeptical, then I defy you to come up with a better alternative that won't take months or even years of development.
Well, there's long-term fees to think about and depreciation.
It'll just be a stationary building once we get the land back. We don't need to worry about all the advanced systems or, like, what was it, a nuclear reactor? We'll just turn it off. Remove it, even. That's crazy. We'll go right back to renting out space like we did before.
McDonald points out, it is quite a bit smaller than an office building. As a rental, it won't have the same value. Not to talk you out of it, but you'll want to be careful to make sure it doesn't depreciate too hard. Michael brings up a good point.
Well, when it's stationary, it becomes a building just like any other, right? We'll talk to some engineers and make sure it meets code so it counts as a property, and then that way it's an investment.
How soon would we have it? Michael asks. McDonald responds, it's already flight capable. I've been lining up the strings and I'm ready to pull them. I think we could have it here for you inside of a month.
Okay, I'm excited about the prospect of this now. But not so excited you could expect me to think the government is going to clear a nuclear-powered fortress within a month. I mean, come on.
Well, of course the tumbler's falling into place for you to get the thing haven't happened within the month. But I've been meaning to get it into your hands ever since I realized the military didn't want it. Where else could it have gone? Who else would take it? The road's already mostly paved, and now that the public will be excited to see it happen, all we need are a couple of signatures. Of course, a bit of cooperation with the FAA, but the fortress will mostly be hovering over the side of your former office building, so once we maneuver it into place, they shouldn't complain too much.
All right. Sir, I can see why you're one of the world's wealthiest men. You work hard, and you've earned it.
I'm just one of God's servants. Can't reiterate that enough.
One of his best, obviously.
Now, let's not push it too far. This wouldn't be possible without the help of you and Michael.
But won't our neighbors be a little annoyed? I assume there's going to be some kind of backdraft. And the engines will make so much noise. It's bound to lower property values overnight.
The engines are positively thunderous. You're not wrong. I also expect that you'll have a hard time convincing a mother eagle to build a nest on such a noisy machine, so that idea might be out the window. It'll be best just to fly it in, do a bit of a parade salute, and then, I don't know, maybe keep it over the bay when you're not on the attack?
It's normally meant to be under the water, right?
That's where it's cheapest when not landing on the ground, but the point is to make a display, so I think you'd want to keep it visible from the shoreline. When the office wreckage is clean and you can land it there, you'll make it permanent. By that point, I'm sure the fortress won't be big news anymore. People will be over it.
Right. So, over the city once for the press. Maybe hover it over the old office space to make an impression. People in the nearby offices get some phone recordings for social media and probably be thankful that it leaves. After that, it stays in the bay at low altitude where the FAA won't be too mad at it, and we let them know when we're ready to move it again. Perfect plan.
Michael says, well, how do we get our staff on board? If it's floating over the bay, we can't have a helicopter running back and forth just to get everyone into their office. People are going to want to go home.
Okay, the thing floats, right? It can land on the water?
McDonald says, it's a top-heavy thing. It's not really meant to sit on the surface of the ocean. What it does is it can surface and uses the flight engines to stay temporarily stable while you get boats in and out of it. But it'll bob like a cork, and that's surprisingly a lot harder on the engines. If it's completely submerged, it has water stabilizers, and it's a much easier time.
Okay. Maybe we're going to have to ask to treat this like some kind of deployment. Like, if they want to stay on board with us, they have to be willing to stay in the building. I assume this thing has a barracks and a cafeteria and so on?
That's right.
Okay, so it's temporary, but salaried positions are going to just have to accept that they can't leave the office except during designated hours when we can touch the water and move boats. Hourly positions, we'll have to figure out something, but I'm sure that we can point out that room and board is a perk not normally offered for most hourly positions.
Michael says, well, legally, and I don't know how this applies to like a mobile building, but we can't have an office double as a residence. The city won't allow that.
But it's not a residence. This is like a being on a boat.
If people are staying there and eating their meals there, there's a bunch of laws. The military can do this, and boats can do it, I guess. Like I say, I don't know, though. In the U.S., we've had issues in the past with company stores and companies being the ones providing lodging because there's an incentive to, you know, save costs.
Was there a way to twist arms on this? Can we get the laws rescinded? I mean, like, surely the courts right now would be open to and favorable about reviewing the laws if we can demonstrate the clear benefits to our employees.
Maybe, but it would have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And even if they were on board for it,
they should be. Like, logically, it's okay, think about it. It's a place to stay with free food. On top of that, we're also providing health care. You know, this is such a good deal. It shouldn't be illegal.
McDonald says, typical government overreach, though. We've spent decades going after these stupid laws, and it might be decades more clearing the rest of them out. May God intervene.
It is unbelievable how many laws just get in the way of everybody's benefit.
It's all just stuff passed by small-minded, little-picture people.
So, okay, we can't let people stay the night in the building unless we can classify it as a boat, which might complicate things later. So we gotta get a ferry to take them to and from the office every morning and night, forcing us to make expensive water landings twice a day. How is that better for anybody? It's just a lack of foresight for the future, like nobody thought about floating buildings. These laws never should have been passed.
Michael says, well, we could fight them over the long run, but that would take months or even years, which defeats the purpose. We don't plan to keep the fortress over the water for that long, right? Luna Island has the same situation where staff get shipped on and off the island every day, so we can likely charter a similar service. It's expensive, sure, but it's all the more reason to clear the wreckage and get back to our usual office space, which I think the local government would like, because of course then we're paying property tax again.
It's just, you know, it burns me up. You have a brilliant idea, but you can't execute it because the government, for some reason, felt the need to be in the way.
Believe me, I know it, says McDonald. Everyone who tries to do anything in this country knows it. But look, I've lined up the legal work for you to receive the fortress. Some of these peripheral issues are going to hold us back. There's not a lot I can do about the inane laws right now, but I'll keep on fighting them till they're gone. For now, we'll focus on what we can do, take the initiative there, and don't worry, I'll keep an eye on all the long-term stuff too. I'm with you.
We talk about housing as a problem in this company. Imagine if companies had an incentive to provide housing for their employees. It would solve so many things.
One problem at a time. See, this is what I mean, though. You get the big picture.
Okay, it's a loss for the city, but I think the course is clear. We'll bring in the Flying Fortress, paint it up like the American flag, maybe fly the New Jersey Delphia flag from it, too. Park it in the bay, then ferry people to and from the building every morning and night, because we have to. If we spin this right, it could be a huge boost to the city's morale. And the company along with it.
And not to worry, we'll keep up the crusade against these awful regulations. There's a lot of like-minded people in government, especially around New Jersey Delphia. We'll win the battle on inefficiency if we keep at it.
Mr. McDonald, you're an amazing man. I am so glad you found your way to our company and chose to help us out.
I'm just glad to be helpful.